We are in Klal Samach Zayin, Ois Vav. Okay, so we have been speaking about the milk, Cholav Shalakum. Sivav, Cholav Shalakum Shenesra, once the milk becomes Aser, Eina Moyalim Yasa Achakak Gevinay Sechema Mimena, even though we said earlier that butter doesn't have to be Chalav Yisrael, because butter is natural, can only be made really from kosher milk. But nevertheless, once the it's Chalav Akum and it's Aser, and you, a Jew got a hold of it, so when he turns it into butter, it doesn't become mutter. Ela Nishra bi Isura. Once it's Aser, it's Aser. Dafka b'stam cholav, and that's ordinary milk that a person purchases. Avam yadua shadas hagoy lasis gevinois meha cholav. If the guy intended, he sold the milk from which cheese is to be made, mutul Yisrael lasis achakach mimena gevinois, then it doesn't become aser. Kamakim asalachala cholav kach, cholav is still aser, but not the gevinois. So, an interesting exception, this Rabbi Ort, I believe his name was, from Wisconsin, when I spoke to him about this, he said that when a shipment of milk comes to a cheese factory, a sample is taken and measured for the butterfat content. And the farmer gets paid based on the butterfat content of each tank load of milk that comes in. Which is really what this sif is about. It's saying that if the milk is made so that it should be used for butter, or cheese in this case, so it should be made into cheese, so then the intent is that it be a quality for cheese, and mamela, they're not gonna mix in a milk that has no fat. So that's the idea here, that if the milk is made to be made into cheese, then it's okay. But nevertheless, it's not the practice to permit this today. Today, it's got to be, if you hold the Nichal Yisrael, that's got to be Nichal Yisrael.
So you would think, except for what you just said in the last comment, that Hershey bars or Carvel would be okay because it's intended.
No, they don't want butterfat.
They want it for purposes of making the chocolate.
Yeah, but chocolate doesn't need fat in order to be made into chocolate. See, when milk is made for cheese, you want it to have a high fat content, because that's what the cheese is made from. The rest of it is separated. When you make milk into a chocolate bar, you don't need the fat content. So there, you can use regular milk. Any milk would be suitable. I doubt that they measure the fat content when they buy milk for chocolate bars. So that's why this exception doesn't apply.
In any way, what would be the difference? Even if it's a butterfat, it's still owned. Hershey's owns the milk.
Hershey has farms.
What?
They have farms.
No, I'm saying.
Oh, you mean they're doing milk? It's
and,
true.
And the thing, so you're
it's true. It's said here that the milk is still lost. It's only the cheese. That's what you mean.
Right.
Yeah. Even in that case. Okay, you're right. Okay, Zion. Gevinois ha-hagoyim chomer mechalav. This we spoke about when we introduced this whole klal, that cholav akum is a heter of stam, cholav stam. Mm-hmm. But gevinois ha-hagoyim, when you have cheese, it's a totally different rationale for the prohibition. Even though you know for sure there's nothing on kosher in it, loy plug rabbanan va'osru. There it's an absolute iser. Kiva the yesh ma'amidim hagvinos ba'or kevas nevela, l'chein asur hakoil. The reason for the prohibition is because the original, the most common source for the rennet from which is added, what a cheese has in it, curds and whey, and many other things. The natural way of separating curds from whey is to add rennet. Rennet is an enzyme which is found in the stomach. When you eat food, your stomach lining has enzymes which break down the food. So the typical way to do it was to take rennet, stick it in, to throw it into the milk and cheese, let it sit, and then it curdles. The curds come separate, and the whey comes separate. And that separation is done from non-kosher items. When we learned these halachas downstairs a number of years ago, I took a yogurt container. Now yogurt, you know, is very sour. Sometimes when you open a yogurt container, you don't mix it. You see a liquid on the top, a layer of liquid on top, almost clear liquid. That's whey. That's what Chazal called mecholov. If you take a yogurt and you put it in cheesecloth, you cover it, you open it, put some cheesecloth on it, and turn it upside down, it has to be a warm place, otherwise it doesn't fall apart. What you should be getting is a separation. What comes out of the cheesecloth is the whey. And I wasn't able to separate a whole lot of it, but the stuff that stuck to the cheesecloth, when you tasted it, it tasted exactly like cream cheese. Yogurt has a sourness to it. That's totally the whey that's in the yogurt.
Not the flavored one.
What do you mean?
Yogurt,
yeah.
That's plain, has that a characteristic. If you
taste flavored.
Flavored vanilla.
Yeah, has vanilla mixed in.
Is sweet.
Vanilla is sweet. Okay, so I don't know the background.
You don't eat too much.
How they do it? Yeah. Okay. plain yogurt. When you take plain yogurt, turn it upside down. If you lick it, it's yeah, cream cheese. It's two totally different products. Truth is, milk has many things in it. Milk is is the most wholesome food. The baby has everything in the milk. The separation of the curds and the whey. Is done, the way it's done is it sits for a period of time. The different flavors of cheese come from the different enzymes that are thrown in. What they do is take cheesecloth and they actually lift up the curds. They wrap the cheesecloth to pack it together and let it drip and let the whey drip out. And that's how you get cheese. Cheese is aged, however long you age it. So that.
With that refrigeration, they aged it like just like this.
You age it just like this without refrigeration. Okay. I think I once mentioned it was probably in the Navi Shir. I once gave a Navi Shir on how things work about, 6 month cheese. Six month cheese, you have to wait, you have to wait 6 hours if it's aged. What constitutes aged cheese? There are three shitas. The shita of the OU, the shita of the Star K, and the shita of the Hesachtos. They have two or three different shitas. The Zachtus holds that aged cheese is 6 months. If it sits in the store, if it takes 3 months to age it, it sits in the store for three more months, bang. They hold 6 months is just time.
Once the cheese is always on sale.
Once the cheese is always on sale? I didn't notice.
Because
it's going to be 6 months old?
Yeah, it's on the Zachtus.
And nobody wants, okay, I didn't know it was always on sale.
I was told that
okay, I hear.
They hold 6 months, especially months.
They hold 6 months time, period. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch.
In the refrigerator in the store, you know.
Shulchan Aruch says 6 months. They hold 6 months. I don't know. Rebelski held that it has to do with the sharp taste that comes from the 6 months of aging. It's not a din in the time. It's what the time does to the cheese. So the cheddar cheese. Was a subject, I think, of a dispute. There's another type of cheese which is 6 months.
Swiss.
What they put in the salads. Parmesan cheese. Parmesan cheese. There are two types of kosher Parmesan cheese on the market. There's the Ha'olam, which is real, and then there's the company keeps on changing its name. I don't know why. Now it's called Healthy, Fine and Healthy, or what's it called? Tasty and Healthy, or something. What? Fresh and healthy. The cheese also called fresh and healthy. So they, if you look, it says Parmesan cheese, but little letters between it says Parmesan flavored cheese. Because it's not real Parmesan cheese. Now, if somebody, most Jews do not like to wait 6 hours, especially after cheese. It's just not worth it for a salad, with some Parmesan cheese. So you have to buy the cheaper brand. But all the others are 6 months. Rebelski held that the sharp cheddar cheese, if I recall correctly, you have to wait 6 months for.
Did he say that Parmesan cheese is considered aged?
Parmesan was no question. I think according to all of them, it needed 6 hours. The cheddar cheese was the sharp. This regular cheddar cheese and the sharp cheddar cheese, I think. You know this stuff better than me. No, honey. You do it, Jesus. There's sharp cheddar cheese. What?
Cheddar cheese.
What did I say? Cheddar. I mispronounced it, but I had the right cheese. Cheddar cheese. Okay.
The other
ones are,
I heard cheddar.
Parmesan, everybody holds 6 months. There's no machlaikis. And the cheddar cheese is the one that they argue about. The sachtus holds, the star K holds if it crumbles. When it gets old, it crumbles. The longer you take it, the more moisture goes out. So Rabbi Hanavan says, b'shem rabar, he doesn't have a maramachim for it. I mean, it's a characteristic that it crumbles. But he says, Rabaron held that if it crumbles. No, and the cheddar cheese is makel, because the cheddar cheese, am I right? Doesn't crumble like the Parmesan. What?
Cheddar is a solid.
Is a solid? You can cut it? You can cut it. So they hold the cheddar is not. Parmesan crumbles. Anyway, so this is the dispute. Back here, L'chayr Osra HaKoyel. L'cheira pyrus geder va'ichel gvinais, chalav aaser pyrus geder. Such a person is breaking down the gate, so to speak. Va'ivra al divrei chachamim, va'fil Yisrael ra chaliva va'sias hagvinais. Now he have a chumra of the shach. Even if a Jew saw the milking and the making of the cheese, aaser ha'ya chalav shalgai, it's still aaser if it's a guy's milk. Imloi she Yisrael yasem maisa. A Jew has to do an act in the making of the cheese. That is, sheyosim akevel l'teich hacholav. He has to throw the agent, the cheesing agent, into the milk. And that's what they're machba today, that the beginning of it, that he throws it in. Avol, b'chol v'Yisrael, sheyisrael kana schum givinis min ha'agai. Or, if it's the milk is a Jewish milk, or Yisrael kanas chum gevinais min agai, or the Jew purchases an amount of gevina from a guy, or shesachem yimenu habehemais, v'kenu kacholav shel Yisrael. If it's made in a way that's kacholav of a Jew, oz kimash Yisrael roya chaliva v'asiya sagi, then the Jew doesn't have to throw it in, al gevinais seyam gazu aloy al gevinais Yisrael. So if a Jew goes in and makes a run of cheese, chachmas adam is meikel, shasan gai v'chei noegin, sh'akum v'beis Yisrael, eisen gavina shal Yisrael, ayin shach, the shach is machmir, and we're noeg to be machmir. He says in parentheses, ava minchas Yaakov, chaylak ala shach, apasak ramad, lo'ilam mutak shara achaliva, v'asiyas agavinais, apachol av shodai, chinkosav, adeinu mireinu, rabbeinu, v'noedim Yehuda. So there's machlokes if it's ma'akev that the Jew should throw in the first call it rennet or whatever the agent is.
First of all, you have to say that the milk is cholavakim, and you have to do something to the cheese to make it cholavakim.
It doesn't matter. No. The cholavakim aspect is separate. The milk is either cholavakim or nachavis, or what we call stam cholav today. But for cheese, separate of the cholavakim issue. To make cheese, a Jew has to put in the rennet. That's according to the shach, and a Jew could watch the putting in the rennet according to the mekilim. That's the chalukei days. The hechsherim are machmir. That's what I was told by Rabbi Ort. That they're all machmir. All the cheese is made. It's amazing. You have a gigantic country with 325 million people, and all the cheeses are made in Wisconsin. It's hot cheese. I'm talking about hot cheese. Yeah. I'm talking about hot cheese, not talking about sausage. What? Yeah. V'imloy ha'yisham b'tchilas ha'chaliva muta b'di'evet. I shouldn't say that. Could be the other states have it. All the Jewish cheeses are made there, and Jews are not big cheese eaters. You know, all of them tried making the blue cheeses and all the gourmet cheeses, but nobody buys it. Who needs cheese, you know? You have Ragaloch. Who needs so much cheese? How much cheese they sell? They sell a lot more chocolate bars than they sell cheese. A lot more everything. How much cheese they sell? When's the last time you had a cheese besides American cheese?
No, I used to have a cheese.
What?
Cheese.
But when's the last time you had it? Today. It's the wrong person. You're a gourmet. V'imloy ha'yishah b'chiyas ha'chaliva muta b'di'eved kivet she'chaylov lasis gavina. And b'di'eved, if the Jew was not there at the milking, we permit it as long as the milk was made for the cheese, as we said earlier. The chalav tamei ene maimid, and the chalav tamei does not turn to cheese. Afilo yatamei be'edrei. And even if he has non-kosher animals in his flock, kiva de daite lahakfia, since his das is for it to curdle, v'im loy ra'a chaliva klal yesh lahatubev samruva dafka. If he wasn't there with tchilas ha-chaliva or meikl, if he wasn't there at all, only perhaps a meruba, dafka shekona lasis chum gavinais, this is all of a Jew ordered a run of cheese, a lefi mishkal, or if it's sold lefi the weight, says the Shulchan Aruch, avol mekainim imenu ha-chola b'mida, if the milk is sold by measure, by volume, not by weight, yeshlochus shum iruv cholav tamei va'asr. Okay, this whole heter that cholavakum, that's milk for cheese, is mutter, is only if it's sold by weight or by fat content, and then it's this way. Now, I had in mind to check, I neglected to, but Rav Moshe has a letter, I believe, to Rav Schwab about cottage cheese. If cottage cheese has a din of cheese, or if cottage cheese has a din of milk. My recollection is that Ramesha writes that Mikra Din has a din of milk, but it's good to be machmir and to treat it like cottage cheese, like cheese. Which means it has to have a heksher. I'm not talking now about Chol Yisrael, not Chol Yisrael. It just means that cottage cheese without a heksher is not mutter. It has to have a heksher that treats it as cheese. Yeah, because today they put flavorings and everything into it. Today we wouldn't buy things without a heksher because you never know what's in these things. But okay. The cream cheese is milk. Cream cheese is not cheese. Cream cheese is not cheese. Cream cheese is milk. It's butter, like butter. It doesn't need a curdling agent to separate butter. You churn it and it separates. So, I don't know what else there is, but that's basically it. The smetana, the cream is milk. What?
Why people
machmir
in Chol Yisrael and cream cheese
if it's like butter? In Chol Yisrael? Yeah, no, you don't want to have the heter, the same reason you machmir milk. I meant that it doesn't, if I said like butter, you're right, I don't mean it's like butter. I mean it's not hard cheese that needs, that has these edges.
So,
but,
yeah.
Buttermilk was sold and cream was sold. Why aren't these things sold anymore? I don't know. They sell heavy cream for you would think everyone's a connoisseur for coffee today. I'm surprised it doesn't take off. What? Goyim have heavy cream? They do? Yeah. Right. Okay.
The
fat.
What?
Okay, at any rate, this is the rule, Oisches, Yisrael, Sha'osa Gvinois Bebeis Akum, Bechosma Bechosim, Defus Shel Eitz. You make a cheese, you can make it into any form. So he, making the cheese, made it in a special form. They took a wooden form and left an emblem on it for a simon. Okay, now this is today, the people have complaints. It says here, if you have a heksher, the stamp that stamps on the heksher, you're not allowed to leave by the guy. Now here it says, if you forgot the tfus in the house of a guy, when that chayshis he made other cheeses with your form, she yare yakum she yachus she yehudi rogelas his chayis my b'makay miyuchad, because he can't really fake it. B'makay b'makim she ain't efsim merubi yesh lahachmel keni nichay munach al gavina shas Yisrael. Here we have a major problem in the hechsher business, which is with control over the labels. Of the kosher label, like the plumbers. It's an issue, it's not run well. Rabbi Eider, in the 80s, I think, revealed that some of the national hechsherim were leaving their bags in the places that make generic lollipops and the like. And the bags were just there. And whenever they had an order, they pulled out the bags and they made it. So it's a problem. It's not a heksher if the guy can do whatever he wants with the bags. So I don't know. When we visited Empire, they showed us it was a cage, a locked cage where they kept the plumbers, the whatever it is. Today it's really a problem because If you want to do an expose, you have a few dollars, and you want to do an undercover expose, you can open up a store on Coney Island Avenue and call it super duper kosher or whatever you want, and buy chazer, and go to a printer and print every single hechsher. What does it take? You go to a printer, you order it, he'll print it for you. It's not going to happen to you. You know, you print it with all that shit. Because it used to be that you had your own signature on it, you had your own sim, and 20 years ago it's the same thing. It's a problem. They're supposed to be afraid of the, of getting caught and the government. Alright?
Sure, when the stores got caught.
Yeah, what happened?
It was a scandal.
The guy plumbed
it in the basement. And they got the store on Avenue J when they found something, they switched.
The scandal was not on the labels. That scandal was because they were buying non-glot and they were selling it as glot. So that was a scandal. But we found in the possession of someone who, at that time, we actually hired, Kila hired a private investigator to look into something. There was a fellow who had boxes and boxes of plumbers and labels of two national hasherim. He had it in his office, which he rented space at the place where the office near where this whole thing happened, and this fellow Zayda was a sheikhet. He himself, we hired someone to tail him, and the person we hired was a cop in the 70th precinct for a long time. You know, he knows the Jewish neighborhood. So we hired him. It's very expensive to hire people for a 25-hour tail. So we hired him from Yom Kippur to Sukkot. That's the heavy meat. That's the busiest meat week of the year, is from Yom Kippur to Sukkot. So this guy says to me, Rabbi, this guy ain't one of you. From Yom Kippur to Sukkot, he wasn't in a shul. From Yom Kippur to Sukkot, a guy with long payas and a beard and the whole business. He said the guy wasn't in a synagogue from Yom Kippur to Sukkot, you know, like,
you know. The
same well, not quite, but anyway, my point is that, it's tough. It's really tough. I, you know, it's very, very hard to give hechsherim in plants out out in the sticks. And you get a call, they want to do a run next week. You get a mashgiach. How do they get mashgichim in these places? They find a rav in a nearby shul and he makes a few dollars on the side by going and giving a hechsher. But you gotta get, you gotta get the labels there in a way that the goyim don't have it. How do you do that exactly? It's not so simple. It's not one box of labels, since you're talking about a large amount. If they're bags or boxes. So, alright. So the hechsherim try. There was, like I said, Rabbi Eid at that time, caught on to it, and the hechsherim improved. I hope they improved totally. But it's a
he felt on the non-bread, let's say bars and potato chips. You have a big one with the old
He was.
Then they left it for generic bread.
The generic bread.
He was using the same potato chips.
No, the generic, whatever. They had to do generic bread, it's true, but, okay.